Hey, welcome back to the Indiana Bible College Chapel Podcast, where this week we have a phenomenal message from our student body secretary, Rebecca Pace, entitled Agape or Silver. But before we get to that, I wanted to let you know that we do appreciate your subscription to the Indiana Bible College Podcast. Thanks for the likes, the shares, the reposts, all of those good things. And if you haven't done those, why don't you go ahead and take a moment right now and do that? And now let's listen to Sister Rebecca Pace, Agape or Silver.
Amen. Let's give that hand clap of praise unto the Lord. Being in the presence of the Almighty. He's amazing. Oh, let's just lift up our hands. Jesus. Thank you, worship team, Natalie, and worship team. You guys are incredible. Thank you. I'd like to say a huge thank you to all the staff here at IBC. You all are incredible, and what better people to have place a fingerprint, a handprint in our lives than these amazing, incredible people. I really do appreciate it. And then thank you to my mama. She's here today, and it really means a lot, and she's incredible. So. Amen, amen. We're going to read from Matthew 27, 1 through 5, and Revelation 4 and 2. We'll start out with Matthew, and if you have it, say amen. Let's start at 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hung himself. And then going to Revelation 4:2 in the back of your book, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thine first love. And I guess the title of what I want to speak today about, what the Lord wants to speak about, is agape or silver. Amen. You may be seated. There are so many things we love. We love the Chick-fil-A in Southport. Amen. We love any free food, hashtag Sonic app for free slushies. It's the best. Y'all need to get it. We love when your gas goes from E to F, except we hate paying for it. I love when I go from, like, I'm burning up and I'm so hot, and then I go into the air conditioning, and it's like, whoo. This weather is so bipolar, by the way. Like, we're at that awkward stage where, like, some of us are still holding on to summer, and then the others are starting to grab onto fall. And so we're all like, what do we do? What do we do? One day it's cold, so we pull out our fall stuff. And then one day it's hot, so then we go back to our summer stuff. I love it. It's very fun. The smell of a new book. Some people like that. I don't really like it, to be honest. I mean, it kind of smells like nasty, I think, in my opinion. But some people really love it. Going to bed knowing that you do not have to set an alarm in the morning. Finding money randomly in your pockets, that's the greatest feeling. Blessing from the Lord, hashtag school bill. Taking naps here at IBC, honestly, me, I try to get as much naps as I can possibly, whether they are 5 to 10 minutes. Used to be before I could not fall asleep. Now I can fall asleep, like, within, as soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm like, out. Eating cereal at any time of the day. Some people like that. Yep, yep. Chicken Finger Friday. When your package finally arrives in the mail, you're like, yes, I got it. When your 8 a.m. class is canceled. Or when, like, just so happened that, like, you have one teacher for the whole day and they cancel their classes for the whole day. It's the best. Although we love to learn, we love the classes, but a break every once in a while is good. When you think you're finished with your last bite of food and then you look down and realize you have more food left. A clean room after it was a total disaster. The first bite of a cookie. Driving with the windows down. When you finish the last sentence of an important essay that you have been procrastinating for a while and is actually due within 5 hours. So you spend up, you've been up all night trying to work on it. And when you finish that last sentence and you're like, yes, I'm done. When all the people that you love are in the slob, like you walk in and like your really, really close friends are all in there and you're like, friends! Getting a front row parking spot in the slob parking lot is the best feeling ever. As you can see, there's so many things we love. We love when things happen to us. We love those things. But today I really want to focus on the love for our Jesus. A love for the King of Kings. A love so strong that it drives us to do godly and good things. Going back to our first love. And in this incredible Bible, there are so many great stories. And I'm taking biblical textual right now, and it's really awesome to see how, like, his word has been preserved. And this is the word of God, folks. This is his word. And there's so many amazing stories. I know that I said this before, but there's, like, fighting stories. There's love stories. By far, my favorite story is the story of this big, fat king. And this guy this guy comes, and he takes the sword, and he stabs him. And then it says, and then the dirt came out. I let you fill in the blank. And, like, the sword literally got stuck because the king was so fat. It's in the Bible, I promise. So, but then another area that I absolutely love is the Gospels. The Gospels are really awesome. And as Brother Brown says, it's like four different people watching one accident. And they all, like, they all report what they saw with their point of view. And they report it, but none of it contradicts. It all aligns. And that's what kind of the Gospels are. They're four different people telling the same story, but different viewpoints, and none of it contradicts. That's incredible. But in the New Testament, we have the 12 disciples, 12 amazing men of God that were chosen by God. But one of them is Judas. And we all know him as the one who betrayed Jesus. I would hate to be known for that. I would hate to be known as the one who betrayed Jesus. But I fear that there are some in here that have indeed betrayed Jesus. Jesus, he chose Judas to be his disciple. Like many of us today, God has called you for such a time as this. He's called you and you are a chosen generation. And he handpicked each and every one of you, like he handpicked Judas. Judas, but with him, he misunderstood Jesus' mission. Like, sometimes we misunderstand God. Like, God, I don't understand your purpose for my life. I don't understand how this is all going to work. It's really confusing. And he just simply misunderstood what Jesus was really there to do. Judas, he walked with Jesus. He knew Jesus. He'd seen him. But he failed to have a love for him. Judas, he allowed his desires of what he loved to place him in the position where Satan could manipulate and take a hold of his life. Judas was indeed a thief, and in John 12, we see where Mary, she takes these really valuable ointment, and she lays it before Jesus' feet and starts, you know, praying, and Judas comes up and he says, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare that which was put therein." So we see that he started desiring the things of this world. He started desiring sin, started desiring taking the money and being very greedy. See, backsliding doesn't happen overnight, but it is simply a slow, steady pace, steady slope that you tend to go down and start to backslide. Judas, he then goes on with his life and he agrees. He's like, you know what? I agree to betray Jesus. And in the Gospels, as I said, it's four different people telling the same story, different viewpoints. And Luke, he states that Satan entered into Judas. And it wasn't because Judas was an innocent bystander and just was being a puppet used by Satan. But preferably Judas, he came in and he allowed Satan to enter into his life. He was indeed a thief. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This shows us how the process works. Dead in sin, walking in the desires of flesh, fulfilling carnal desires, we are then allowing the prince of powers of the air to enter into our life. Satan, he had his power where sinful passions hold strong. Judas, he was an innocent man of God, but Judas' will, obedience to sin, his lack of conviction, and his lack of love for the king allowed him to be the perfect vessel for Satan's plan in this world and opened him up to Satan's entering. And some of us are opening up to Satan's entering into our lives. We're allowing sin and allowing the desires of this world to take a hold and allowing this Satan to come into our lives. He went then to the chief priest and he asked, he's like, okay, listen, I'll show you where Jesus is, but what are you going to give me? And they're like, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. Now, 30 pieces of silver equivalent today would be about $600. It's not much at all. And so today, I believe that Jesus is doing, or the devil is doing what he kind of did with Judas and influencing him, he's doing to us today. So if I could possibly have, Charlotte, do you mind? Okay, so I love illustrations. Illustrations are literally my favorite. Could you hold that? And then hold this. Okay, and if you have a sign, can you kind of hold it up just a little bit? If I give you a sign? Okay, we'll start over here. Hi, Drew. So, you can come with me, sorry. So I'm going to represent the devil today, and this is going to be my helper, and this is going to, sorry, and this is going to be Drew. Now, Drew, hello. What do you have there? What does the sign say? Friends. Okay. Listen, he's starting to hang around people that really love God and are really starting to influence him, and we can't have that happen. So on your sheet, it says friends. Let's see. What's the best way? Bad influence. Not good enough. Okay, we'll use that. Drew, your friends, you're hanging out with some really good friends, but you know all the stuff you did in the past? Literally, they didn't do that. You're awful. And when they see you as, oh, you're not good enough to be in our friend group. Trust me. They don't like you. They don't like you hanging. You know what? You're an inconvenience to them. So how about this? Can you give me a coin? I have this deal for you. How about you start hanging out with friends that aren't good influence? Start allowing, you know, bad things to come into your life. And how about you give me your friends? Give me your walk with the Lord. Oh, give me, actually, forget that. Give me your love for God. Give me that, and I'll give you the world. I'll give you friends that are going to make a good influence. Actually, you're going to have so much fun with these bad friends that you're missing out. So how about you give that to me? Come on, Drew. I mean, think about it. 30 pieces of silver, that's so much. So much. And how about you could just your love for the Lord. Ultimately, that's what I want, just your love for the Lord. Come on. Please. The world. You don't want to? Okay, we got it. Sorry. What's some? Oh, okay. You're worth nothing. And your friends are awful. So please, Drew, please, take the world and give me your love for God. Give me your love for God, and I'll give you the world. Come on. Thank you. Good job. Oh, let's get him. Media, okay, let's see. Worth nothing, oh yeah. Hello. Media. See, media is worth nothing. See, you're so unappreciated. Media has, honestly, doesn't even play a big role in church. I mean, you simply do sound, and you know what? You're actually going to make, okay, he's going to make a flyer that's going to, like, really grab people's attention for the tent revival, and so we need to stop that, because then, you know, people will be drawn to the tent revival, will be changed. We got to stop it. So, your media. Hi. How about you give me a coin? I have a deal for you today. See this? 30 pieces of silver. How about I offer you, you're so, nobody appreciates you. And that's awful. So how about I give you appreciation from the world? Like, the world will love your talent and your ability. How about you take this and give me media? Because it's not a big deal in the church. Like, why put it towards church when you could put it towards worldly things? Come on. The world, worldly things, and you give me media. And you know what? Forget that. Give me your love for God. Give me the desire to do his will and use what God has given you, a gift with media and all that stuff. How about you give that all to me and I'll give you the applause of the world. Oh, thank you. Okay, good job. Is there another one anywhere? Oh, missions. We got this one. Okay, let's see, missions, money and fear. Oh, you feel called to missions, how nice. Let me tell you, you're never going to raise enough money to go over. You have $2,000 you have to raise, and you have 4 to 5 weeks to raise it. There is no way God is going to provide for you. It's just impossible to think that God would even care to give that to you. You know what? You're not even really called to missions. And then also, when you go overseas, it's going to be in a crazy new land, and there's going to be so much fear. You're not going to know where to go, what to do. You're not going to be able to even read the signs, let alone, like, understand what people are saying. So how about this? How about you take that money, you buy a house in America where you're safe, and I just live for the Lord, you know, just go to church, that's all you gotta do. And how about this? You get that peace, and, you know, you get to keep your money that you work so hard for. And how about you give me your passion for missions, your love for missions, your desire to do God's will? How about you give me your love for the King of Kings? Just give me that. Yeah. And how about you take the world? Thank you. Okay, next one. Hey. Music. Bam. Ooh. Fame. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Music. Hi. You got such a calling on your life, and you got such ability. Amazing, Billy. I mean, you can move a crowd with your talent and your ability. That's not God. No, that is all you and your talent and your ability. God didn't give you that. You have that. So how about this? You know, the church is the church, but you're not going to get anything out of that. How about you go into the world? How about you go into the world? And how about you get fame from the world? Fame, applause of men. So much greater than, you know, just church folks, giving a hand clap. And they're not even giving a hand clap to you. They're giving a hand clap to the Lord. So you might as well get a hand clap to you from the world. So how about you give me, Give me your love for, you know, doing the work of the Lord, your love for worshiping the King of Kings, your love for God, your love for his will for your life, your love for knowing that it's his talent and not your talent. How about you? Give me that. Come on. And I will give you the world. I'll give you the hand claps of men. I'll give you fame and fortune. And yeah. Thank you. Okay. Oh, we got a preacher over here. Okay. Hi. You feel called to be a preacher? Yes, you know what? You are a preacher. My goodness. You are phenomenal. You know what? You've taken some classes here at IBC. You've acquired all the knowledge that you can. You know what? You are so amazing that you're better than all those people up there. You're so much smarter than them. Oh, you are incredible. You're such a preacher. And how about, you know what? You're even smarter than your pastor. Wow. Come on now. So how about this? How about I give you compromise? How about I give you make a church? You know, truth doesn't matter. Holy Ghost, that's not essential. Let's just forget about all that. And holiness, just throw it out of the window. How about I give you that and a mega church, a huge church, and you give me your love for preaching the word of God, your love for truth, and your love for God. Ultimately, I just want your love for God. So how about you give me that, and I'll give you this. He was going to preach to so many people. They were going to get saved, and they were going to walk with the Lord, and just he was going to have a huge revival. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, no. Just kidding. I'm not saying that. Anybody else? I'm missing somebody. Oh. Okay, hard times. Okay, hard times. You're going through a really hard time right now, and God's not there. I mean, everything bad that possibly could happen is literally just coming at you, and God's not there. God, I don't hear him. So how about this? You know, give me your hard time, and I will give you worldly things. You know, just fulfill your flesh for just a little bit because you're going through such a hard time. And, you know, just all bad things are happening and God's not there. So how about you just take this, the pleasure of flesh, the pleasure of things of this world, and you give me your walk with the Lord, your love for God, your love for kingdom mind. You know, give me your trust in God and your faith in God. How about you give me that and I'll give you this. See, if we stop them when they're going through a hard time, that's when we really can get them. Yeah, I'll save you for later. Oh, okay. So this person is starting to really shine God's light, not just within her talk, but even with her dress and being modest and holy and biblical and stuff. I'm going to take a moment here and just pause. Ladies, you all are incredible. You guys are beautiful ladies. And I understand, you know, we're all at different areas, but if God is starting to convict your heart about things, don't ignore it. Listen to it, because you are beautiful. And honestly, you showing off your B's is only going to attract guys with no character that only want you for what you look like versus what your heart has. But even though it's biblical, and, you know, Proverbs 31 woman says she will honor her husband all the days of her life, meaning she will honor him before she even knows him, honoring him by dressing right and dressing holy, because not alone is pleasing to God, but it's also, like, pleasing to your future husband that you would even respect him enough to hide those things for him. You guys are so beautiful, and you guys got such a call on your life. Don't settle for less. Don't compromise just because you're getting the attention. I'll say it again. Attention will only last for a little bit, but respect can last a lifetime. But besides the fact that it is holy, besides the fact that it is scriptural, do it because you love God. Ultimately, we want to be pleasing to him in every aspect of our lives. And then also, I know we say this a lot, but we shouldn't have to say this all the time. But with gentlemen too, your pants are too tight. I'm sorry, but that's not pleasing to us women. That, you know why tight pants were created? They were created out of the homosexual agenda. And so you, by wearing that, you're attracting other guys. So if you want to attract other guys, then you go with it. But honestly, it is not biblical. And let's just be real, folks. And let's do it out of a love for God. Out of a love for his kingdom, out of a love to walk with him. Let's do it out of a love. And that's what I really wanted to preach about today, is we do all these things out of a love for the King of Kings. So she's trying to dress really nice, and we don't like it. So you want to get the attention of other guys. And so how about you start, like, you know, just doing a little tighter, and then also her talk. You are starting to talk, she's starting to talk to her coworkers and really talking about God. And, you know, if she keeps doing it, she's going to actually witness to them. So, hey, how about at your work, you be completely different than what you are at school? How about your work, you be worldly? And how about you, like, laugh at their dirty jokes? And how about you not stand for truth? Don't stand for truth at your work. Don't be a lie. How about you have fun, laugh at their dirty jokes? How about you get the attention of guys that don't want you for your heart? How about I give you that, and you give me your talk, your walk, and your dress? How about you give me your love for God? Next one. Oh, time. This is where we really need to get them, because their time is so vital. And if they spend time with the Lord, then they're going to want to do the work of the Lord. They're going to fall in love with the Lord, and we can't have that. So, your time. Hey, you haven't prayed today. Oh, no. That's okay. You could probably leave a little early after curfew and go and pray and spend time with the Lord, but why do that when you can go hang out with your friends in the slob? I mean, you're going to miss out so many amazing things in the slob if you go back and pray in your room. So how about just do it tomorrow? See, hell's favorite word is tomorrow, because if we can get you to wait until tomorrow, oh, there's no chance of you coming back. Because when tomorrow comes, you'll be like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And then it's going to be too late. Ooh. So give me your time, your walk, your prayer, your fasting, all those things with the Lord. How about you give me your love for God, and I'll give you a hangout time. I'll give you some amazing time. I know you're, you know, studying the Word of God, and that'll justify it. That's your walk with the Lord. You're here learning about God. I mean, you don't know God, but you're learning about him. Same thing. It's okay. So how about you take this world, and you give me your time? The world? Come on. Your friends, you're going to have an amazing time. How about you give me that? Thank you. Okay. And who else did we have? Oh, love for God. Okay, this is going to be a tough one. Because if they love God, they're going to want to do everything pleasing to him. They're going to want to be in ministry. They're wanting to do the will of the Lord if they love God. So we gotta sell them this world, okay? We gotta make it look great. We gotta make it look grand and so satisfying, when really it's not. But hey, you love God. That's great. But how about you take the love of the world? See, yes, that's eternal, but this is right now. And this satisfies your flesh. Your flesh. We want to satisfy that, don't we? So how about you, you know, give me your love for God, your love for truth, and I give you this world. I give you the satisfying of your flesh. I give you the appraisals of men. I give you things that will just grab a hold of you and keep you. How about you take this and give me your love for God? Good job. Thank you. I could do that. The other day, Alex and I were at the park, and we were doing homework and stuff, and this kid comes up, mind you, he's 15, and he says, and you guys kind of heard a little bit about it, but he comes up and he's like, hey, how old are you guys? And Alex is like, 22, 20, and he's like, oh, okay. He said, are you guys into legal stuff? And we're like, no, we are not. And he goes, really? And we're like, yeah, we're not. And Alex goes, but are you? And he said, yeah, man, life is too short. That stuck to me because life is too short for us to be selling out what they are looking for. Life is too short for you to settle for worldly things that won't ever satisfy, won't ever keep you. Life is too short for you to miss out on reaching somebody that is searching for Jesus, that needs Jesus. Life is too short for you guys to start letting go of godly and kingdom-minded things and giving into this world. Life is too short for you to sell out eternity for only this world. Life is too short for you to sell out worldly things, to sell out the living water for something that will never satisfy. And it stuck with me. Life is too short for us to start playing games. You're missing a church service, or you're missing out on your sleep. A sermon 10 minutes too long, or a dinner half hour too late. Your Bible unopened, or your Instagram post not checked. Prayers for the loss, or a night out with your friends. Missing a Bible study, or missing your favorite movie. A soul lost in hell, or 30 pieces of silver. Judas, he hung out with Jesus enough that he knew where Jesus would be when he needed to show the multitude and the Pharisees, hey, this is where Jesus is going to be. He knew Jesus enough that he knew where he would be. And the sign that Judas uses was a kiss. So Judas walks up and kisses Jesus. Many of us are kissing your Jesus goodbye for just 30 pieces of silver. Jesus, he responds saying, Judas, betrayest thou Son of Man with a kiss? And betrayest here means give up. Judas, you gave me up for a kiss? You gave me up for 30 pieces of silver? He realizes, and after time goes on, Judas realizes, man, I have sinned. Judas realized he was condemned, and he repented himself. And then he brought the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed innocent blood. And that statement's so powerful because Jesus, he died on the cross for your sins. He was innocent. He was an innocent blood, but so many of us are selling him out for worldly things. And his ill-gotten gain now did him no good. It would not produce relief to his agonized mind. It started tormenting with him. I just sold Jesus. I just sold innocent blood. I just, for 30 pieces of silver. And he then took the 30 pieces of silver and just threw it. So he came to the tabernacle and he just took the money and he said, you know what? What is this? I sold my king for this. I sold my king for that. And here I am giving it back to you guys because literally I sold those 30 pieces of silver for the innocent blood for my Jesus. And what's really sad is he then goes out and hangs himself. And then in Acts, they go on to describe how he died, that it was off of a cliff and there's tons of rocks and he went to hang himself and apparently the rope maybe snapped or something and then he fell on the ground and like his head busted and guts came out. So like he died a very traumatic death. He ended his life in despair without ever experiencing the gift of reconciliation. True repentance leads the sinner to a Savior, but this led him away from the Savior to death. Judas, he was too late and missed out on the grace and mercy that we tend to play around with like it's no big deal today. That money that he gave to the priest, they turned around and bought a graveyard for strangers. When you walk away from God, you become a stranger to him. And what I guess I want to know the why. Why did Judas, why did he do this? And I believe that is because he lost his love for Jesus. In John 21:15 through 25, this is where Jesus, it was his third time making an appearance to the disciples after he had died and rose again. And Jesus, he goes on and asks Peter, he says, "Do you love me more than these?" And here, for the love, he used agape, which means fond of, love dearly, love deeply, to be content with. And Peter, he responds with, "Thou knowest I love you." And the love that he used here is phileo, which means approve of, like, befriend, and welcoming. It's not nearly as strong as agape. It's like just kind of like, hey, you're my buddy. You know, I love you, but I don't want to do those things. You know, I'll walk with you. I'll go to church, but man, I don't love you enough to start letting go of sinful things that I'm holding on to. The second time, Jesus says, "Do you agape me?" And Peter responds with, "No, thou knowest I phileo you." And then the third time, Jesus says, "Do you phileo me?" And Peter responds with grieving and sorrowful, and he was very sad, and he says, "Yes, I phileo you." When we have agape love for Jesus, then we won't want to sell him out for this world. Many of us are kissing your goodbye and saying, you know, "I don't love you, Jesus. Nah, I don't love you anymore. I love these worldly things more." But I'm saying a love in a relationship is what's going to keep you. With that love, then you will want to please him. You will want to walk with him. Yes, I'm going to talk different. Yes, I'm going to dress different. Not just because his word says it, but because it is an outward reminder of an inward choice that I love you. I agape you so much that I want to do your will for my life. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you, Jesus, just to be with Jesus. That is what I desire. I desire to be with him. And you see, I'm not with him when I'm with that. I'm not with him when I'm with that. And I find myself, me personally, every day wrestling with the choice of yes or no. Yes, I'm going to serve him, or no, am I going to serve him? Yes, there are so many distractions in this world. The world is trying to get your attention. And yes, I wrestle with that every day, but I want to wake up saying yes. Yes, I want to do your will. Yes, I want to walk with you. Yes, I get to walk in joy and peace and greatness and goodness. Yes, I want to. Because you know why? Because I agape you. That kid in the park, he's searching for that agape love. And we have the answer. So when you have that agape love and you start doing the will of the Lord and you start living for him, then you're going to want to go out and you're going to be like, you know what? I have the answer you're looking for. And you'll get a desire and a burden for the lost soul. I know we just came from Reality Week. But take those contexts and go out and say, hey, I have agape love for you. Agape love that this king, agape love. And this is what you're searching for. And I got it. And I want to share it with you. Ultimately, we all have different callings. So many of you have such a calling on your life. Seriously, I cannot wait to see what God does in each and every one of your lives. But our callings are not about us. Literally, our callings is just simply a way that God has blessed us so we can further the kingdom of God. Whether it's with your singing, God has blessed you with the talent of singing. Literally, that's just so you can come up and bring people to God. Maybe God has blessed you with the talent with media or different things, and you have that. That's just simply to further the kingdom of God. My nanny kids, they love to do this thing where they play school, and it's his school, so he teaches his little girl, or his sister, sorry. And they were doing, like, he was writing out tests and all this stuff, and then he wrote out a religious test, and I looked over and I seen it, and the first question was, "Do you love God?" And man, it hit me. I was like, wow. I felt like God was like, "Do you agape me?" In Revelation 4:2, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first agape love." Obedience is better than sacrifice, but we must have a love first that causes us to be obedient. So if you guys will stand and music can come. If you're here today and you feel like a Judas, you feel like, man, you know, I have been selling out. I have been taking the 30 pieces of silver. I have news for you. You can come today to this altar. And an altar is a place of sacrifice. And you can come and sacrifice. Don't be Judas and wait too late and go out and kill yourself and die before you can ever experience the grace and the mercy that God has for you. Come to this altar and say, God, I'm sorry, Lord. And it's washed. It's washed by his precious blood. But don't just, you know, have that moment here and then turn around. So you come and, you know, you're like, God, I'm sorry, I forgive. And then when you're like, you know, I'm going to walk out, you pick it back up. I feel like this generation, so much times we are caught up in the emotion. We come up and we're like, oh, I feel God's presence, so I'm okay, I'm great. And then when we turn around, we immediately pick it back up. Life is too short. Life is too short for us to pick it back up. Jesus didn't die on the cross just so you could live in sin and then come back. No, Jesus died on the cross so you could come and walk with him. So you could come and talk with him. So you could come and agape him with your whole heart. Jesus came to save that which was lost. Maybe you're going through a really hard time and you feel like God is just simply not there. God will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you feel like, God, I'm just trying everything I can, be reminded of agape love today. Be reminded of the King of Kings, the one who loves you and who will never leave you. No matter how hard the situation is, he will be with you with every step. So if you need to come up and say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. I'm going through a really hard time, but God, I trust you. I trust you, and I don't want to be a Judas. I don't want to be a Judas. I don't want to sell out this precious thing that has been given to me. I don't want to sell out what God has given me, agape love that can last. I simply want to live for you, and I want to let go of worldly things, for they will never satisfy. When it's all about you, it's all.
It's all about you. It's all about you.